time for IFYL, Inspirations for Your Life, Drive Time Radio Talk Show. Here, we'll talk about everything you need to know to stay inspired, how to set your goals, stay on track, and achieve them. Before you can do anything in life, you need to believe, and then you will achieve. Motivation, inspiration, tips, techniques, and the keys to being and staying successful in your life. We often share things you can choose to implement to make a difference immediately. We will utilize affirmations, positive self-talk, NLP, and technology to get you excited about achieving your goals. I'm John C. Morley, serial entrepreneur, national keynote speaker, member of the International Press Association, and your host for Inspirations for Your Life Drive Time Radio Talk Show. Be sure to check out BelieveMeAchieve.com for more of my great creations. Hey guys, how are you? It is great to be with you on our first episode here. It's actually going to be called the JCM Hour. We're going to be changing the music probably a little bit too. And, you know, this is kind of a very informal show where I'm going to be just shooting the breeze with you and giving you some insights on how you can improve the quality of your life. I think that's really what I'm after. For those of you that don't know me, my name is John C. Morley. I am a serial entrepreneur, and I live for two main reasons in life. Do you know what those reasons are? To become a better version of myself and help everyone else become better versions of themselves as well. And I know what you're probably saying, John, that sounds great, and what's it going to do for me? Well, I knew you were going to ask me that question. And so what I want to tell you is that I first had to become a better version of myself, and I'm not doing that to be selfish, but you have to understand, if I don't become a better version of myself, then I can't help other people become better versions of themselves. I think that's the name of the game. And I know that might sound selfish, but it really is not selfish. It's that I have to build up who I am, and then I can share that. Because if you don't have the ability to do great things for yourself, then how are you ever going to inspire other people? I mean, how? You're not. Okay? You are definitely not going to be able to do that. And so what I want to tell you is that you have the ability in your life to create miracles. And so what we're going to be doing each Saturday together is we're going to be talking about how to make miracles in your life. Now, the first thing I want to tell you guys, and this isn't a religious show, but I am a Roman Catholic, and I do want to tell you that I'm grateful to God and to the Lord. But again, I promise you it's not a God show. But I'm grateful because I pray. And I have to tell you that prayer has given me so many inspirations and helped me. But what I want to tell you is that in your life, every single day, it's about a perspective. Okay? You might have heard me talk about the 6 or talk about the 9 before. Okay? And those are pretty cool things. It's just that 6 and that 9 are two different numbers. But if we look at it from different angles, we actually see a 6 or we see a 9. So which is it, a 6 or a 9? Now, this becomes very confusing when people write things down on paper. How do you get the right number? When I was younger, my teachers always used to tease me and say, you know, you have doctor's handwriting. I've gotten a little better, but I still feel that my best penmanship is probably in my printing. I love to print and do it really clearly. You see, most people in this world, okay, live on that gray line in the fact that, well, what do you want it to be? And so that could be a big difference. If you're writing a check out of your checkbook for, let's say, $10.80, and suddenly the number looks like $1,000.80. That's a big problem. Now, the words have to match, ladies and gentlemen. The words have to match. And I will tell you that it is very interesting because your life, all right, is all about your perspectives. When you start to learn what a perspective is in life, you start to get freedom. Now, a golf club, for example, has a 6, has a 9. We know the 9 because it has the line underneath, right? But what other things have perspectives in different ways? Well, maybe you are trying to ID somebody. And you think you saw, but you're not exactly sure. I remember this great story. I think it was from the Brown Academy, and it was a movie. And the boy's name was Charlie. And I think it was called the Brown or the Beard School. Charlie went to, I think it's called the Beard School. It was a very, very interesting movie. And the thing is this. The movie was with Al Pacino and Lieutenant Colonel Franks. It was called Son of a Woman. And so Charlie refused to come clean with the names of the students responsible for a prank that Mr. Trask is furious about. And Mr. Trask, the headmaster, was not very happy. And, you know, he had went to visit, Al Pacino, who's in this movie, which is, it's pretty amazing. And Al Pacino can not see, okay? But he's a very smart, intelligent man. And one thing that I learned about the actor playing Al Pacino in the movie here is that he will stand up for someone or something if he believes in it with his whole heart. And he believed in Charlie. So you know what he did? He went to the school's trial. And Mr. Trask, again, was very furious. And he asked Mr. Willis for his testimony, and it's very vague and, as he said, unsubstantiated. And he was saying, I was hoping that the substance would come from you, Mr. Sims. And Charlie Sims, you know, said, I'm sorry. And Mr. Trask says, and I quote, I'm sorry too, Mr. Sims. Because you know what I'm going to do? In as much as I can't punish Mr. Havemeyer, Mr. Potter, and Mr. Jameson, and I won't punish Mr. Willis, he's the only party to this incident who is still worthy of calling himself a beard man. I'm going to recommend to the disciplinary committee that you be expelled, Mr. Sims, and you are a cover-up artist, and you are a liar. And Lieutenant Colonel Frank Slade said, but not a snitch. Mr. Trask said, excuse me? No, I don't think I will. And I'm quoting from the movie. Mr. Trask then said, Mr. Slade. Lieutenant Colonel Frank Slade said, again, all quoting, this is such a crock of S-H-I, you know what. And Mr. Trask came back and said, please watch your language, Mr. Slade. You're in a beard school, not a barracks. Mr. Sims, I will give you one last opportunity to speak up. And Mr. Sims doesn't want it. And this is what Lieutenant Colonel Slade said. He doesn't need to be labeled still worthy of a beard man. He goes, what the hell is that anyway? What is your motto here? Boys, inform on your classmates. Save your hide. Anything short of that, we're going to burn you at the stake. Well, gentlemen, when the SHI hits the fan, some guys run and some guys stay. And here Charlie's facing the fire. And there's George hiding in Big Daddy's pocket. And what are you doing? You're going to reward George and destroy Charlie. Mr. Trask says, "Are you finished, Mr. Slade?" "No, I'm just getting warmed up. I don't know who went to this place. William Howard Taft, William Jennings Bryan, William Tell, whoever. Their spirit is dead. If they ever had one, it's gone. And you're building a rat ship here. A vessel for seagoing snitches. What a sham. What kind of show you guys are putting on here today? I mean, the only class in this act is sitting next to me. And I'm here to tell you, this boy's soul is intact. It's non-negotiable. You know how I know? Someone here, and I'm not going to say who, offered to buy it. Only Charlie here wasn't selling." Mr. Trask said to Lieutenant Colonel Frank Slade, "Sir, you're out of order." Trask gets the gavel. Colonel Slade stands up very angry. "Out of order? I'll show you out of order. You don't know what out of order is, Mr. Trask. I'd show you, but I'm too old. I'm too tired. I'm too," and he uses the F word, "blind. If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a..." And Lieutenant Colonel Frank Slade slams his cane on the desk screaming, "Flamethrower to this place. Out of order. Who the hell do you think you're talking to? I've been around, you know. There was a time I could see. And I have seen boys like these, younger than these. Their arms torn out, their legs ripped off. But there's nothing like the sight of an amputated spirit. And there's no prosthetic for that. You think you're merely sending this splendid foot soldier back home to Oregon with a tail between his legs? But I say you're executing his soul. And why? Because he's not a beard man. A beard man. You hurt this boy. And you're gonna be beard bums. The lot of you. And Harry, Jimmy, Trent, wherever you are," and he basically said, "F you too." And the student body committee was shocked at Trask's anger and is further aggravated by this. Mr. Trask yells, hits the gavel 3 times. "Stand down, Mr. Slade. I'm not finished. As I came in here, I heard those words, cradle of leadership. Well, when the bow breaks, the cradle will fall. And it has fallen here. It has fallen, makers of men, creators of leaders. Be careful what kind of leaders you're producing here. I don't know if Charlie's silence here today is right or wrong. I'm not a judge or a jury. But I can tell you this, he won't sell anybody out to buy his future. And that, my friends, is called integrity. That's called courage. Now, that's the stuff leaders should be made of. Now, I've come to the crossroads in my life. I always knew what the right path was, without exception. I knew, but I never took it. You know why? I was too damn hard. Now, here's Charlie. He's come to the crossroads. He's chosen a path. It's the right path. It's a path made of principle that leads to character. Let him continue on his journey. You hold this boy's future in your hands, committee. It's a valuable future. Believe me, don't destroy it. Protect it. Embrace it. It's going to make you proud one day, I promise." And Lieutenant Colonel Frank Slade said, "Oh, but I still smell her." Inhales deeply through his nose. "Woman, what can you say? Who made him? God must have been a blank genius," he used the F word. "The hair, they say the hair is everything, you know. Have you ever buried your nose in a mountain of curls? Just wanted to go to sleep forever? Or tasted a good sip of wine after you crossed the desert?" He used some other profanity as well. "I don't care if they're Greek columns or secondhand Steinways. What's between the passport to heaven? I need a drink. Yes, Mr. Sims, there's only 2 syllables in this wild world worth hearing." He uses the letter P, vernacular for vulgarity for a lady. And he says, "Ha, are you listening to me, son? I'm giving you pearls here." And Lieutenant Colonel Slade said, "The day we stop looking, Charlie, is the day we die." Lieutenant Colonel Frank Slade said, "Hoo-yah!" Charlie Sims said to Lieutenant Colonel Slade, "You effed up, all right? So everybody does. Get on with your life." "What life? I got no life. I'm in the dark here. You understand? I'm in the dark." When in doubt, use the F word again. Clear them little bottles off. And when I get off the phone here, call up Hyman and tell him I want a wall-to-wall with John Daniels. Don't you mean Jack Daniels? He may be Jack to you, son, but when you've known him as long as I have, that's a joke. And then Lieutenant Colonel Frank Slade said, Charlie, about your little problem, there are two kinds of people in this world. Those who stand up and face the music, and those who run for cover. Cover's better. Lieutenant Colonel Frank Slade said, where do I go from here, Charlie? Charlie said, if you're tangled up, just tango on. And Frank said, you asking me to dance, Charlie? And Frank Slade speaking. But the point I wanna get out to you is that I won't give you the whole truth of the whole movie, but the integrity, the emotion, the movement of this production was not one I see a lot of times. And there's some other stories I'm going to talk about as well. I think a lot of people in this world believe that if I don't see your perspective, then I'm wrong. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, just because you don't see my same perspective doesn't mean you're wrong. It's okay to agree to disagree, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not saying doing it like a jerk. I'm saying to agree to disagree in a gentleman-type manner. Hey, Paul, I understand that we're coming at this from different angles. And you've been a good friend of mine. And today, I want to agree to disagree. I accept what you're saying. I don't agree with it. And I want you to accept what I'm saying, even though I know you don't agree with it. That's integrity. See, that's respect. I want you to know that there'll be people in this world that are just going to be hanging around for your plane to take off, or your train to take off. John, what are you talking about? All right. Let me ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. How many times in life have you started something and there weren't many people but maybe a friend or two that wanted to help? Maybe you're starting a new business. Maybe a new relationship. Maybe you were learning a new language or a new skill. And everyone but maybe one person, and maybe there was a time when nobody supported you. I know that probably made you want to just curl up in a ball. But you kept keeping on. And you plowed through it. And you know what happened? You took that plane. You took that train. At full speed. Out of the station. Out of the runway. And you know what happened? The people that wouldn't even give you the time of day are risking their life to board your plane. They're risking their life to board your plane. Why? Many people in this world do not want to even break bread or shake hands of another gentleman until they're successful. I thought our world was about helping each other, embracing those that need help, supporting our community. Maybe that's lip service that a lot of people give, and more than a lot. If we help others, okay, and we help enough people get what they want, you know what's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen? You're eventually going to get what you want. Not because you're selfish, but because you're giving. I was at a store today getting ready for a video shoot. For those of you guys that don't know, I'm also, besides being an engineer, I'm also a video producer. And we're doing a shoot. I won't tell you what that's about. But I was at the Dollar Store getting some party supplies for a video we're putting together, a kind of an infomercial, little quick reels and stuff. And when I was in line, the cashier said that, you know, he couldn't quite help me with blowing my balloons up because the line had gotten way too long. You don't mind if I help this person first, do you? And so I said, no, I don't mind. But then the first person became the second person, the third person, the fourth person, the fifth person. I said, gee, that line's getting long. I said, is there another cashier here? He's like, oh, yeah, she'll be back 8:11. So I looked at my watch. It was like 8:07, 8:08. I said, 8:11? 8:10 came. 8:11, she walked in. He asked her, as soon as you clock in, would you fill these gentlemen's balloons right away? And then they didn't have the balloons I wanted because they were out of stock. And there was a lady there. And she was coming through the line, and I was waiting on the edge. And I saw her having trouble, and I said, ma'am, I said, maybe you can separate those and put them into two, and then you can carry one, and your son can carry one. And she said to me, oh, that'll be a cold day, and you know what? What's the matter? She said, ask him to help me. He's not going to help me. And I said, really? She's like, he goes, well, maybe I can carry one little thing. And I said to myself, gee, that kid's mother wanted a little bit of help. And then she told me the story that they were just unloading some water from college, and he gave her such an attitude to take the water out of the car. We're supposed to love our father and mother. We're supposed to love our guardians, right? And when I heard that, I was very sad. And she said something very interesting to me as I gave her that little tip. She said to me, she says, God bless you. I said, God bless you too. Have a great weekend. I think one of the most valuable things we can receive each day is a sincere compliment. A heartful compliment. Not because somebody has to do it, but because somebody wants to do it. So when your plane is on the runway and it hasn't even been able to start the engines to its plane, I know you might be sad sitting in the cockpit and waiting for people to help you. But the truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, you gotta help yourself first. Now, I don't say that to be a downer, but I don't want you to get discouraged because no one's boarding your plane yet. So get that plane ready. Prepare that plane. And when that plane's ready to launch, maybe you take off alone. Maybe you take off with a friend or a family member. Launch that plane when it's time. And you'll see that as soon as it gets into the air, all the people that turned their back on you suddenly want to become your friend. Perspectives. Why do people have perspectives? People are worried about what others are going to think. You know, every day we have something called an ego. And there's different kinds of egos. I won't get into that. But an ego is nothing more than the proverbial clothes that we put on our body. Now, it's not really clothes, but it's the image we put on our body and we go out. And the image we put on our body is the image other people see in our lives. So perspective is the key to you becoming a success. I remember, I think it was, about 6 months ago. And I remember being in a store. And it was not late, but maybe like 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And you're not allowed to have bags. So I had, you know, some bags so I could put things in. And I was carrying a lot of stuff out. And as I got to the door, the one bag just kind of toppled over. And the first thing I said, oh, gee. So I guess I got to pick this up. Do you know how many people went past me? And do you not know one person said anything but, excuse me, I have to get to my car. Not one person that evening said, may I help you? What can I help you with? And you're probably going to say to me, hey, John, that was 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. We don't have that anymore. Well, why? Why have people changed? Why have people gotten so into themselves that they don't have time to share one of the greatest gifts of life, which is getting to know other people? About maybe a year ago, I remember helping a charity. And I did it because I wanted to help the charity. It was a neighbor in my town. I won't mention the name or the association, but it was a 501c3, and I bought a ticket, and I went to the event, and I donated some tricky tray prizes for the table, the raffles. And I remember the evening, and it was a pretty good evening, and you know, everybody thanked me for coming. And there was a lady there who was the office manager, and I said, may I schedule some time to meet with you? Oh, sure, John, just give us a call next week and we'll set something up. I said something to the, it was actually a doctor, the doctor's husband. And I said something to her, her husband. I said, I talked to XYZ and, oh, yeah, sure, yeah, talk to her and she'll get you in. Yeah, she's great. About a week or two after the event, I called her. And I said, hi, this is John C. Morley, serial entrepreneur. If you remember, I was one of the sponsors at the such and such gala. I bought a ticket as well. And I remember I reached out to you and was saying if I could come in for a brief introduction, see if there might be some way we can mutually help each other, if you need any of my services. And I got her voicemail. About 2 or 3 weeks go by, nothing. I sent an email, nothing. So I was at an event, and I talked to her husband. I said, I'll just call Mike. That's not his name. I say, Mike, I reached out to – I'll call her Nancy. It's not Nancy. That's not her name. Reached out to Nancy, and, you know, I was trying to get together. It's been a couple months. Oh, John, you know, we are so busy right now. We're hiring other people. And I was happy they were busy. But it took me back. It took me back because I made time for them, but they didn't make time for me. Now, the event was last year. They had the event just come up a few months ago. And they asked me if I wanted to attend again. And I would have. But I said, no, I'm going to pass this year. Thank you for the opportunity. We're a little busy. And the message I want to bring you here is that life has to be a two-way street. If it's not a two-way street, do you know what happens? It becomes a problem. It becomes a problem for everyone. And I know I'm probably going to ask him one more time, but then I'm not going to ask anymore. But I'll tell you one thing. If another month or two when I ask and I get nowhere, I'm never going to ask again. And so I remember posting something on social media not too long ago saying, you know, it's interesting. Everyone always has their hand out and they need help. And I'm always there to help everyone. But when I need help on something I'm starting out, people are too busy. They're doing all kinds of crazy things. We have a saying, in where I live in Franklin Lakes, and I always say to them, your driveway's on fire. So what do I mean by that? My driveway's on fire. So I'm outside, and I say to my neighbor, my driveway's on fire. And so my neighbor's there, hypothetically, and I say to them, my driveway's on fire, will you help? Oh, John, I'd love to. I got to take Michael to band practice. I got to take Carrie to karate, and I got to take Christopher to Little League. But call 911. I'm sure they'll come quick and they'll help you. But be sure to message me on Facebook. Let me know how you made out. Okay, toodles. And I don't know about you, but that kind of puts you into a doldrum. So I want to tell you today that if you want to be successful, realize that you got to do it yourself. I said something to somebody a while ago at one of the stations that I do programs at. And I said to the PLC, he said, you know, no one helps me in the beginning. And you know what she told me? John, no one helped us in the beginning either. And that just gave me an upset stomach, proverbially. Perspectives, people's reactions, and energy are very important. I had a lady the other day reach out to me for something, and the person was very aggressive. And so I tried to tamper them a little bit and say, hey, look, I understand you want to do this, and I'm happy to help you with that. And the same token, I want to make sure this is a win-win for my audience. And she shot me back some information, some topics and whatnot. And I responded back that I think your topics are a little pushy. I think they're a little too salesy. And I'm here to tell you that when you do something with your heart, you do something with that intention to help someone, they accept that intention. They accept that help. Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, that heart of intention is not always returned, at least not right away. And I know how this can demotivate so many people. So first thing you got to realize is, be your own best friend. I can't tell you how many times in the past, they're like, oh, John, what are you doing? I said, I'm going out. Oh, okay, I'll talk to you another time. And then I talked to them, they're like, well, how was your dinner? I said, oh, it was great. Who'd you go with? Oh, no one, I just went with myself. You went yourself? Where'd you go? I went to Real Palm Terrace Steakhouse. You went there yourself and spent, I said, yeah, I love taking myself out to dinner, to lunch. I love knowing that I'm my own best friend. Because when other friends are busy, it's good to know that you can have fun with yourself. You can go to a movie. You can go to a dinner. And I don't say this to make you sad. I tell you this because you're worth getting to know. People might say, well, John, I've known myself my whole life. Do you? Do you know your likes? Do you know your dislikes? Do you know why you react certain ways? Oh, well, John, I just react that way because do you really know? Or are you suppressing it? When we ask somebody a question in life and they respond with a simple one-word answer, I'm going to call this being being polite, all right? And when I say being polite, that's one thing. But then there's another level that would be friendship, okay? And friendship is a whole different thing that doesn't just, it comes after being polite. So if I was being friendly, then what I would do is say to you, let's say you asked me, you might ask me a question like, hey, John, what are you doing tonight? And if I want to just be polite, but I wasn't looking to be friendly, I might say, I'm going out or I'm busy. One word, very quick answers. If I say something like, I'm going to a carnival tonight and then I'm going to go grab dinner at this new steak restaurant. See, now what I'm doing is I'm sharing what I'm doing. This also gives you the opportunity to come back and say, oh, you're really going to steakhouse? Which one? Oh, the one on Route 17, the new such and such. Oh, really? I've been wanting to try that too. I was just wondering, would you be open if I tagged along and hung out with you at dinner? Yeah, that'd be fine. So I think we have to be understanding. And I apologize. Sometimes when I shoot from home, my home studio, we get dogs walking. And I apologize. There's a new yappy guy who just seems to be seemed to come here. And this dog does not shut his mouth for anything. He just like yap, 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 yap. hopefully he'll get tired of yapping, but I think it's because the dog is so young and he just needs attention every 5 seconds. But I got to tell you, that's annoying, right? Do you all know the story of the man who cried wolf? So the man who cried wolf, when we talked about the Humpty Dumpty, I remember the Humpty Dumpty wall, very similar thing. So Humpty Dumpty was sitting on the wall, okay? And the village people said, when the wolf comes, make sure, you know, you yell help. Okay, no problem. But don't yell it unless, you know, you really do need help. And he's like, okay. And so this happens, and all of a sudden, you're probably saying, okay, what's going on? So he goes and yells for help for no reason, okay? He just goes and yells for help just to try it out. And everybody comes running. And they're like, where's the wolf? Oh, there was no wolf. I just wanted to test it to see how this worked. And they're all really upset.
We'll be right back. there, keep it right there. Good talk, ain't it coming there?
baby, party on a board.